From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Through the Cross to the Crown, once again taking his text from verses 39 and 40 of the chapter. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Victory Without Battle. The text is found in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Precious word, Jehovah himself will deliver his people in the greatness of his mercy, but he will not do it by the ordinary means. Men are slow to render to God the glory due unto his name. If they go to battle with sword and bow and win the victory, they ought to praise their God. Yet they do not, but begin to magnify their own right arm and glory in their horses and horsemen. For this reason, our Jehovah often determines to save his people without secondary means, that all the honor may be to himself alone. Look then, my heart, to the Lord alone, and not to man. Expect to see God all the more clearly when there is no one else to look to. If I have no friend, no adviser, no one at my back, let me be nonetheless confident if I can feel that the Lord himself is on my side. Yea, let me be glad if he gives victory without battle, as the text seems to imply. Why do I ask for horses and horsemen, if Jehovah himself has mercy upon me and lifts up his arm for my defense? Why need I bow or sword, if God will save? Let me trust and not be afraid from this day forth and forevermore. Amen.
Inspire us in our task. They have fought the fight.
They have run the race.
They have won the crown at
last. And the lies they live remind us that though the race at times seems long, God will give the grace to complete the race and the courage to press on.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Thank you. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, he returns to verses 39 and 40 and a message called Through the Cross to the Crown. In the previous message, Dr. Cairns dealt with the theological or doctrinal principle set forth in the text. Today, he will begin to underscore the devotional principles found in these verses. Many Christians have little interest in doctrine, preferring to concentrate upon what they term the practical aspects of Scripture. However, as Dr. Cairns will emphasize, biblical practice must rest upon God's revelation of truth as found in His holy word. Departure from this has resulted in many spiritual errors. As he begins this message, Dr. Cairns deals first of all with the testimony of faith. True saving faith is absolutely essential before anyone can live rightly before God. Now, to begin this message called Through the Cross to the Crown, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're returning this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and reading once again the last two verses of the chapter. Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. As I remarked last Lord's Day morning, these verses are verses of very, very far-reaching importance on many grounds. They present to us the full and final vindication of faith in the complete family of God from all ages. If you were here last Lord's Day, you'll remember that we divided the treatment of the text into two parts, looking first at its theological principles and then its devotional principles. And I'm using the word principles in the strict context that word is used in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. I detest the use of the word principles as it has come to be used in modern church life, where you simply have some half-baked idea of some worldly psychologist, whether Freud or Rogers or some other character who hates God and knows nothing of God, attach a text of Scripture to it, and lo and behold, what is anti-Christian suddenly becomes a principle of Christian living. I do not believe in living by that kind of principle. But I do believe in the principles of Hebrews chapter 6, the basic doctrines of the Word of God. And looking at the basic theological positions, we saw last Lord's Day morning that a proper understanding of these two verses will actually regulate the entire system of interpretation of the Word of God. What is taught here is so important that it will settle your basic theology for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not going to rehash what I said then. I trust that you have given it thought and studied it a lot further than I was able to take it last Lord's Day. We didn't get as far as the devotional application. We're going to come to that this morning. But I think right at the beginning, it's proper that we should emphasize the connection between what is doctrinal or theological on the one hand and what is devotional, or what some people like to call practical, on the other hand. There's a great tendency to divorce those two things. Well, this is purely a matter of doctrine, but I'm more interested in something that's practical. Well, I think we should see, not only in this text, but in the structure of the entire New Testament, that these two things are always held together, and what God hath put together, let not man put asunder. We should emphasize the connection in this verse. First and foremost, because as I have been remarking again and again as we've studied verse by verse through Hebrews 11, there is, in this chapter, a clear teaching about faith. Now, faith is a practical devotional matter. We live by faith. That touches us, and you'll see this as you go through this chapter very carefully. It touches us in every part of everyday life. Faith is not just something for the religious life. It's not just something for church life. Faith touches you in the church, in your worship, in your private praying, in your private study. It touches you in your home life, in your relationships with your wife and with your family. It touches you in business life. It touches you where your life comes in contact with the world. Faith is something that has to do with real, practical, everyday living. And yet, faith is totally dependent upon the Lord's revelation of truth. Faith, as we have noted again and again, is not just feeling good about a situation. That's what it's come to mean to most people. But faith is not just feeling good. Faith is not just taking the right attitude. That's another word that I have problems with. I realize that it's a perfectly sensible word. But it seems to me that it is overworked and overplayed. And even in our fundamental churches, you hear this constantly. You have an attitude problem. You have an attitude. It's not an attitude problem most of those people have. It's downright sin that they're dealing with. And when you start using euphemisms for sin, then you're going ultimately to not to deal with the sin as God would have it dealt with. But faith is more than just adopting an attitude that is apparently helpful. Faith is more than hoping for the best. Faith is something that is directly dependent upon a positive revelation that God has given us, a revelation of His truth. Now, I want you to see how important this is. There is no true faith apart from the great theological revelation of Scripture. Let me put this first of all in theological terms and then work them out in a very simple and practical way. When I talk about the great theological revelation of Scripture, I'm talking about a revelation that we would describe in two ways. It is redemptive in content. And then a very big word, it is Christocentric in focus. Now that's the theology of it. What does it mean? It means very simply that God's revelation upon which faith is based is the revelation of His love, of His grace, of His salvation in the person and through the merit and bloodshedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that is not intimately connected with that is not faith. Now let me emphasize that. That's why right at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, in the very first personal instance of faith, there was an attention drawn to the blood of the Lamb, Hebrews 11 and 4, to the sacrifice, to the atonement. We live in a day when faith, even among professing Bible-believing Christians, faith is to do with health and wealth. Now, don't misunderstand me. Faith may lay hold of the promise of God in areas of those needs. But we have reached the stage where faith, only this kind of faith at least, only seems to operate in the areas of health and wealth. I hear preachers, and they're constantly telling you to release your faith. It normally means release a few dollars into their account, of course. They're constantly harping upon faith that is going to give you immediate healing, faith that's going to give you immediate wealth. I wonder what they have done with the vast majority of the Word of God when they have got Christianity reduced to a health and wealth religion. It certainly is not the religion of the Word of God. But I hear them talk about faith in this way, with practically no reference whatsoever, and certainly no direct connection between what they're saying and the person and the work of Jesus Christ. I want to make it absolutely clear today, if your faith is not a faith that is in the person of Christ and in the blood atonement of Christ, then I don't care how you describe it or how successful you think it is not true faith. It's not saving faith. And if it's not saving faith, it's not faith at all. I want you to get the connection between the theological and the practical then. Faith depends on the great revelation of redemption in the person and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should draw this to our attention, this connection also, because really there's nothing more practical than theology. There's nothing more practical than doctrine. There's nothing that tends more to deepen our devotional experience than the great doctrinal truths of the Word of God. This is where Scripture doctrine, scripturally understood, that's a very important writer. Scripture doctrine, scripturally understood. This is where it differs from human philosophy. Philosophy may stimulate your brain. It may puff you up with a sense of great knowledge. It may even excite some humanistic efforts. But only the great doctrines of the Word of God, of the gospel of Christ, can motivate God's people to a full life of vital godliness and service to Jesus Christ. So we have here theology and practice. Today we're going to come to the practical part based on the theology that we noted last Lord's Day. And as we think of these very simple practical emphases based on the theology, I think we can do no better than sum up not only the text but the entire chapter with the title, Through the Cross to the Crown. This is really the pathway of faith. It's through the cross to the crown. Now, let me first of all speak a word about the testimony of faith in this chapter, or in this text. This is going to be brief, believe it or not, because I spent a whole message dealing with the testimony of faith a couple or 3 weeks back. But a little reprise here then. The testimony of faith. These all having obtained a good report through faith. The words obtained a good report, literally translated, would say, these all were borne witness to by faith. Now let me emphasize something. If you forget all that I would say, let this be lodged in your heart and in your mind. Obviously, it is absolutely vital to have this report, to have this witness. I say it's absolutely vital because remember, this is the great faith chapter in the Bible. How does it start? Verse 2, by faith the elders obtained a good report. By faith the elders were witnessed to by faith. Now then, we come to the end of the chapter. And how does it end? All these were borne witness to by faith. In other words, the Holy Spirit has taken up the same thought at the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter. These, if you would want it, these would form the two outside ends of the sandwich. Everything else is the meat in the middle. But here you have what God wants you to start understanding as you commence reading the chapter. Here's what he wants you to continue understanding as you finish reading the chapter. It is having a good report by faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.